He was heralded by the angels, born in a lowly manger. Virgin Mary was his mother, and Joseph was his earthly father. Three wise ones came from afar. They were guided by a shining star to see King Jesus where he lay in a manger filled with hay. I call him Jesus. That's his name.
Jesus.
Call on him.
Oh, what a wonderful time.
Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of John, the first chapter and the first 14 verses. Here begins the reading of God's word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children, who were born not of the blood or of the will of flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Amen.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, have you been forsaken in your dark and dreamless sleep? Your heart is breaking, and in your wounded sky the silent stars go by. Oh, little town of Bethlehem,
we were not exactly in the path of totality back on August the 21st, but we weren't that far away. And I was at the gym with Sarah, and folks had these amazing glasses to where you could look up and you could see as this solar eclipse was happening. And I've honestly never really experienced anything quite like it, as everything around started to move dark, and it just felt eerie in that moment. And then I was reading it over a century ago, a woman named Mabel Loomis Todd, who's best known for editing and revising the works of Emily Dickinson, witnessed herself this solar eclipse. And this is how she wrote about it so many decades ago. A vast, palpable presence seems to overwhelm the world. The blue sky changes to gray or dull purple, speedily becoming more dusky, and a death-like trance seizes upon everything earthly. Birds with terrified cries fly bewildered for a moment and then silently seek their night quarters. Bats emerge stealthily. Sensitive flowers, the scarlet pimpernel and the African mimosa, close their delicate petals, and a sense of hushed expectancy deepens with the darkness. An assembled crowd is awed into silence almost invariably. Trivial chatter and senseless joking cease. Sometimes the shadow engulfs the observer smoothly, sometimes apparently with jerks, but all the world might well be dead and cold and turned to ashes. Often the very air seems to hold its breath for sympathy, she wrote. At other times, a lull suddenly awakens into a strange wind blowing with unnatural effect. And then she adds, I doubt if the effect of witnessing a total eclipse ever quite passes away. The impression is singularly vivid and quieting for days and can never be wholly lost. A startling nearness to the gigantic forces of nature and their inconceivable operation seems to have been established. Personalities in towns and cities and hates and jealousies and even mundane hopes grow very small and very far away. An astronomer wrote just about a decade after this, after witnessing a total solar eclipse, that one of which the scientist may prosaically state the facts, but perhaps it's only the poet that can render the impression. When you see something that phenomenal, it's only the poet that can give us the words or the images. And we as a community of faith over these last 4 weeks have been moving and dwelling in the synoptic gospels, in Matthew, in Mark, and in Luke. And those synoptic gospels share the good news in gritty and surprising prose. And tonight we turn to the Gospel of John, John's poetry, to render the impression of incarnation. Luke's version of the story guided us this morning and then again this evening as we gathered earlier. And in these minutes leading up to midnight, we're going to dwell together in John's telling of this story. We've journeyed these last weeks in Advent toward Bethlehem, guided by the prophet Isaiah and by the Gospels and the music of Over the Rhine and by this beautiful image that Eric Castellanos and others have created. This time of getting ready has led us finally to this night in Bethlehem. In your dark and dreamless sleep, your heart is breaking. And in your wounded sky, the silent stars go by. Little town of Bethlehem, be still tonight, be still. And it's into that stillness that John 1:5 speaks. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. I want to invite us into that image of the light and the darkness. Pastor and poet Steve Garnes Holmes writes about it like this. Darkness isn't a thing. It doesn't have a power or a substance. It's not evil or bad in any way. But our fear of it, our fear of darkness, is a thing. It has solid weight in our hearts. Wearing darkness's mask, our fear drives us in ways that are themselves evil. And the light shines not to vanquish darkness, for the darkness is holy too, but to heal our fear and to heal the wounds it causes, and to undo the power of evil. The world was created in light, as were each of you. From the deep center, you shine with that original light, the light of your very being, the light of God. And in this world where fear darkens many hearts, you shine with the light of healing and courage, God is already turning the world around. Don't be afraid of the dark. Shine in it. The Gospel of John reminds us that the word, or the Greek word is logos, has been woven throughout creation. Through and beyond all time and space, this logos is life and light. And in this way, John's gospel echoes the creation story from Genesis. It places the birth of this vulnerable child to an unwed teen girl that everybody thought was a nobody because she was from a place that they thought was nowhere. And it's the birth of this vulnerable Savior that is set alongside and within this majestic story of creation. It was as unexpected as placing this story in the magnificent story of creation as the fact that God would meet us, our hopes and our fears, in a manger long, long ago. Born under a star, sometimes there's no difference between a birthmark and a scar. In the stillness of that night, the heartbeat of all creation pulsed within the tender and still forming little chest of this infant child. This is how God is redeeming the world. John says, the Word became flesh and lived among us. Eugene Peterson writes about it like this: the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. The Greek word literally means to tent or to tabernacle. God tents or tabernacles with us. God dwells with us, taking on human form. God is with us where we are and who we are. God is entwined with us and within us, light and life woven into our bodies and souls as God tents and tabernacles with us. After 14 years on the same mattress, Sarah and I finally decided that we were going to purchase a new bed. And it was an awesome decision. Because instead of sinking into that place, we now have this like firm bed. And the mattress arrived a couple of days before the simple frame did. And our daughter decided that she was going to help us with this. And her version of helping was to take her sleeping bag and to pitch her sleeping bag right next to where our bed is going to go in the bedroom. And early in the morning, she rolls out of her sleeping bag and then climbs up into this bed. And you find like her legs entwined with ours. And then you look out and the sun is still not up. She is a really early riser. And you find this moment when her little, they're actually not so little anymore now that she's 8, legs are just entangled, and we awaken together, waiting for the sun to rise. And friends, that's the claim of Christian faith on this night, that God's redeeming love is pitching her sleeping bag next to yours, and then entangling her hopes with you. That's what it feels like to me, to have the hopes and the fears of all the years met in Bethlehem back then and in this day. It's this simple and profound, mysterious and beautiful. It's as stunning as watching the sun fade behind the moon, thinking that, can this really be happening in the middle of the day? Except this, friends, this story is ours every day. Not once in a lifetime, but every day. There's an intentional Christian community outside of Scotland called Iona, and John Bell is one of the leaders there and writes about it like this: light looked down and saw the darkness. I will go there, said the light. Peace looked down and saw war. I will go there, said peace. Love looked down and saw hatred. I will go there, said love. So he, the Lord of light, the Prince of peace, the King of love, came down and crept in beside us. The hopes and fears of all the years met in that vulnerable child, that night and this night. So may the power and the mystery and the hope of witnessing life and light this Christmas night never quite pass away from us. May this night be a singularly vivid and quieting impression that unfolds over these coming 12 days of Christmas and into the seasons that follow. May the hope that we will pass gently and tenderly one person to another in this room in just a little while as we sing Silent Night, may that never be wholly lost. May we feel a startling nearness to the gigantic forces of nature and their inconceivable operation. May the hopes and the fears of all the years be met this night in the Christ child. For God is with us. The beloved comes as a child, tender and willing in deepest love. No power in our hands can undo this great gentleness. No tragedy can overcome this light. May the deep peace of God's gentle presence awaken you to wonder and fill you with love. And may the deep blessing of God's peace with us bring you peace with all living things. May the tender love of God bring you joy as we move toward Bethlehem, the house of bread, to celebrate the bread of new life. Amen.
Silent night, holy night, all is gone. Oh.